It is 5 p.m. on Saturday, June 6th, and it's time for the Kenai Conversation. This is a rebroadcast of this week's show, which aired live at 10 a.m. on Wednesday. And we're going to be talking about Relay for Life, an annual event that, of course, was not able to be held in person this year. There was a virtual version held on Facebook earlier this afternoon. You can still find out how to participate and how to donate at Kenai Peninsula Relay for Life. This is KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. And it is time for the Kenai Conversation. I am Jenny Nyman. Happy topic slash sad topic, because these people are a lot of fun, but we're talking about something that we wish did not exist really in this world anymore. I know with coronavirus being the thing these days, we really should get a pass on other health issues, I feel like. If we're going to have coronavirus, cancer should no longer be a thing. Unfortunately, cancer is still very much a thing. And June, specifically early June, is when the Central Kenai Peninsula focuses a little more visibly on cancer and having an event in the community to raise money to get rid of that stupid thing. And they, along with all the rest of us, are having to change how they're doing things in the time of coronavirus. So we didn't want to let their event slip through the cracks, though, because they are still raising money and kind of doing a virtual thing this year. So, of course, that is a long-winded way to get around to saying our topic today is Relay for Life. We have Jonna Beach, who is the local event lead for Kenai Peninsula Relay for Life. How are you, Jonna?
I'm fantastic.
Excellent. We also have Melanie Derrett, who is the Survivor Chair, and we're going to talk about chairs in a minute and what all that means, and also works for Peninsula Radiation Oncology. Thanks for being here.
Hi there.
And we have Alana Martin, who is the Team D lead slash chair slash again. We will get into terminology here in a minute. Hello, Alana.
Good morning.
And Annette Rolick, who works for the American Cancer Society up in Anchorage. So thanks for being able to jump on the phone and tackle some ACS questions for us.
Glad I could join you all this morning.
All right. So Relay for Life has been going on for here locally.
About 20 years.
I think a lot of people are pretty familiar with it. It's gone through different iterations and time length and places, and it's kind of been a changing beast over the years. And this one is much different than usual.
Yeah.
But for anyone who has not encountered Relay before, does someone want to talk about just what it is?
I can talk about that.
Excellent. Jonna Beach, take it away.
Yes. So Relay for Life actually started back in the mid-80s down in Oregon, Washington, and as a way to raise money for the American Cancer Society for programs and research. And it started off with Dr. Gordy Klatt and the mother of Relay, Pat Flynn, and birthed a international fundraiser. And it is the number one fundraiser for the American Cancer Society. And so what it started off with was Dr. Gordy Klatt was walking around a track, walking, running for 24 hours in hopes to raise money for cancer patients. Pat Flynn saw what was going on, and she thought, we need to take this to the next level. And so then there was Relay for Life. Locally, it started back in the mid-late 90s, and it was a 24-hour event. We walked laps for 24 hours. The three main things that we do with Relay for Life is we celebrate those that we have. Sorry.
It's a tough subject.
I wasn't going to cry. We remember those we lost, and we fight back by raising money.
Give Jonna a second here. And so anyone who has been to Relay, I think, whether she meant to or not, I know she did not, but she is pretty much exactly typifying what Relay is. It is very much a celebration. It's a carnival. There's a lot of fun stuff that goes on, and there are some really interesting and creative ways to raise money at this thing. And at the same time, it's also, you know, the reason for why you're raising money is never that far away. And cancer is not a fun one,
no.
For sure.
Okay, I can do this. So community-wise, we've actually, as you've mentioned, we've shifted this event around quite a bit. It was a 24-hour event, and then as participation kind of died off the next day, we then chalked it down to an 18-hour event. Then as the community got busier, we decided we were going to move locations around. We had it at the Sports Center for a couple years, up at Kenai Central High School a year, back to the Sports Center, then back to Skyview, and then last year we had it at Soldotna Creek Park, which was incredible. And this year we were going to go back to Soldotna Creek Park, and then hashtag COVID, right?
Yes.
And so we still want to have an event and still raise money and still hopefully put the American Cancer Society out of business by finding a cure for cancer. And so that's why we're very excited to be here and talk to you guys today about what Relay is going to look like this year.
This is essentially Relay Week, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it typically is Relay Week, and if you pop over to our Kenai Peninsula Relay for Life Facebook page, you'll see where we're gearing up to have a virtual event. We've posted some really fun videos, and we have an online scavenger hunt happening this week. So just to kind of put people in the mindset of getting out of that COVID world and kind of back to reality of cancer's still here, and we still have a mission, and we still have a job to do.
Right. Okay. And Alana, maybe shift to you and talk about the structure of Relay and how people get involved, the different teams. And, you know, we talk about Relay as a fundraising event, but really most of the fundraising for Relay doesn't happen on that particular weekend. It's a year-round thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks, Jenny. So for us, and myself and Krista McNeil are the team development lead, and our job is to recruit teams, recruit individuals to help fundraise. To support those teams and also to encourage them and educate and answer any questions. So it's really important. Getting people involved is the first step. And, you know, I think this is my 7th or 8th year, that first year you show up and you're still kind of figuring out what is Relay and what does this look like. And then that second year, you get asked to do a little bit more and then a little bit more and then a little bit more. And, oh, look, now you're on the committee and you're running the show. So it's absolutely addictive. And it's something that you want to get involved in and you feel good about getting involved in. And we are a family. The Kenai Peninsula Relay for Life is a family. You know, we just attended a graduation of one of our favorites who is going off to college, and we are going to miss him terribly.
I can't believe he's that old.
I know. And he was, you know, I did the math and I realized that at my first relay, there was this little kid that walked 9 miles all night, was looping all of us on the track. And he's the same age as my youngest now at that relay. So we are a family. And, you know, really, like Jonna said, we are there to celebrate. We are there to remember, and we are there to fight back. So we get you involved. We keep you updated. We encourage you to bring other people in and join a team and fundraise as many creative, crazy ways that you can. I like the crazier the better. And we do it year round, you know, from garage sales to, you know, I know my favorite, one of the Soldotna agencies, they allow their employees to wear jeans on Friday with a donation throughout the whole summer. So,
you know,
we had a cursing for cancer bin. So anytime you said a potty word, money went into the donations. I mean, the more creative, the better. So.
And the teams are often like businesses or organizations that get together and have a team. But you could have a group of families. You can have friends. You don't have to, you know, find like a structured any particular thing to be a team. Just a group of people who wants to help raise some money.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so there's chairs, right, of different iterations of what it takes to put on Relay. So there's an event chair. And then, Melanie, can you talk a little bit about the survivor chair?
So the survivor chair, I work with Wendy Dutcher. And what we do is we look for a place where we can have a gathering. In the past, it's been a survivor brunch and a survivor dinner. What we do also is contact all these different businesses to see if they can donate. Our main people that actually donate are the Navarre family. And so gathering that all together, and it takes a lot of work, actually. And it's like a venue, an actual venue that we put together. It takes actually a month to even put that together.
Right.
And then we also contact, with the help of Annette, we contact survivors. And me being at Radiation Oncology, I know some of the survivors, so I contact them to see if they are interested in joining us to the survivor gathering. But this year, we won't be having one of those.
Right. Mm-hmm. Everybody, especially with health concerns, needs to maintain social distance.
Absolutely.
But so the scavenger hunt, one of those tasks that you're supposed to do is honor a survivor in some way or someone who has had cancer in some way, right? Mm-hmm. So can somebody want to jump on that one and talk about what the scavenger hunt is entailing?
I'd be happy to. So I actually have our Facebook page up on the off chance I haven't said it enough. Kenai Peninsula Relay for Life is our Facebook page. Jump on there. Give us a like. We'll show you some love. One of the things that we did today, or this time with Relay, is mission moments to remind people why we do this. And that's one of the things with our core committee. When we typically meet, we go around the table and we say our why, the reason that we're doing this. And when it was a longer event, it helped us remember, when it's late at night and it's cold and our feet hurt, why we're still there. And I'm really trying hard not to cry. This is hitting all the feels today. So we didn't want to lose that mission moment component of Relay for Life. And so we built a scavenger hunt. And we have 8 stops. And a shout out to Olivia Hutchings, who is our activities chair this year.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, she's full of excitement and great ideas. And she put together the scavenger hunt. And it's 8 mission moments. And so each one of those mission moments, if you choose to go outside of your house, if you're still quarantining or self-isolating, great. If you want to get out in the community and still mindfully social distance and participate, great. So mission moments. The first one is take a selfie with a local business that has supported Relay for Life over the last year. There is a list of businesses on there, and these are businesses that have supported our Relay for Life, our Honoring Hope event. I tried to capture the brewery to bathroom, which Alana did not talk about, but we will.
Oh, I have that on
my
list.
Okay, great. Perfect. The Navarre family for continually sponsoring the survivor dinner every year. So go and take a selfie with that business, and then you post it back to our Relay for Life page. If you want to post it in the comments of that post, great. If you just want to post it on the wall, that's fine. And then you want to make sure that you use the hashtag KPenRelayForLife. Make sure your post is public for viewing. And we'll go through and we'll pick up winners for some fabulous prizes. The second scavenger hunt stop is a selfie with the phone number for the American Cancer Society, which it's 1-800-227-2345. The great thing about this phone number and also about cancer.org is it's such a wealth of knowledge with people that have been newly diagnosed, caregivers. There's a lot of stuff that happens. I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay. And maybe that'd be a good time to switch to Annette, if you're still with us.
I am.
Great. So what the phone number, the ACS website, the resources that you guys provide, which of course Relay is raising money to support. So where do those funds go? How does that help?
All the funds raised, and it, of course, takes everybody in the community to come together to fight something as big and as deadly as cancer. So the fact that we have these incredible volunteers there in Kenai and have had them for a long time means the world to us, because I live in the Anchorage area and there's no way I could be all over the state at one time. So we really do rely on the communities to come in and help us with this fight. The National Cancer Information Center, which is that 800 number that Jonna read off to you, is where people can call anybody can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There will always be somebody on the other end of that line to answer any question somebody may have about cancer, about a new diagnosis, about how they can help their loved one through their cancer diagnosis, just anything and everything that you want to ask regarding cancer is something that you can call into that number or go online. And there are chat specialists available as well, so you don't have to actually pick up the phone. You can do an online chat through cancer.org. There's also resources and information where you can read about every type of cancer that there is known to man, and breakthroughs in treatment, which is also another thing that the money that we raise goes to. It's helping fund that research for that next cure that will hopefully let me retire early. I'm looking forward to having a day off.
You mentioned that some of the funds go to cancer research, and this gets mentioned a lot during Relay, but I don't know that people really realize this. Raising money for the American Cancer Society is raising money for research. And there are a lot of fundraisers because, unfortunately, there are a lot of needs still out there. So you see a lot more like GoFundMes for particular people who are fighting cancer, local, you know, fundraisers for, you know, specific instances. And all of that is wonderful, of course, and needed, because not only is cancer a jerk, but man, the costs that are incurred when you are fighting that jerk get out of hand. Not to take away from that or not to discourage people to support those, of course, but that money doesn't go to a cure either. And so people who are supporting Relay and their own personal sphere of people who are fighting cancer are paying towards a cure to get rid of it for everybody and supporting local. I don't know that distinction always gets made.
Right. Yeah. And thanks for bringing that up, because that is one of the things is we've seen a huge increase of the GoFundMes and the personal fundraisers and stuff, which is great, because there is some things that money from Relay doesn't go to, like your electric bill, your grocery bill,
right,
that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So we do need other organizations or fundraisers to help fill that gap. However, that money doesn't go to find a cure. And so what I've been telling people in the last few years that we've seen this uptick in people wanting to donate to somebody personally, and our community is phenomenal with that. They want to help the person. Is, you know, if you have $100, split it. 50 to Relay for Life, and then 50 to the GoFundMe. And then that way you're not only treating the person, but you're treating the root core of the problem. And so I'm glad that you brought that up. Thank you.
And what is your, I kind of cringe to even ask what your fundraising goal for this year is, because I'm sure that's pretty challenging to raise money with all of the universe right now. But yeah, you guys, I mean, you usually bring in a fair amount, yeah, for ACS.
So on our website, it says 50 grand, and it looks like we're close to that.
Oh, good.
Part of that is because of the way the fundraising clock goes. So we actually fundraise, and I think, and this might be getting too far into the weeds, and Annette might be able to jump in on this, but typically we have fundraised on a fiscal calendar, so September 1 to August 31st. So this last year in November, we held a new event called Honoring Hope. It was an incredible night, and we raised a crap ton of money for the American Cancer Society.
I think that's metric, by the way.
It might be. And so part of that money is pulling in. So it looks like we're closer to our fundraiser dollar amount than we really are. And I don't know if Annette wants to jump in regards to talking about that type of stuff. But usually our goal is anywhere from 50 to 70,000. And that's, like I said, in a fiscal year.
Right. So, Annette, how many of these relays are there around the state? How much does Alaska contribute to ACS in a year?
So, besides Relay for Life events, we also have Making Strides events, and we have more formal gala events throughout the state. Relay for Life, they've dwindled down. We used to have a lot more. We have one here in the Anchorage area, the one there in the Kenai Peninsula. We have a relay up in Fairbanks, and then one out in Kodiak, and then some smaller events that used to be relays but are kind of taken on a different format. And it really varies from year to year how much money from Alaska goes to the American Cancer Society. So it's really hard to say typically how much in a year. I know that our gala event 2 years ago in Anchorage brought in over $500,000 just in one night. So it varies year to year. Kenai does a really great job at staying engaged and fundraising year round. And so that's why they are. And I'm looking at their total right now, and it looks like they're sitting at $46,000 for their fundraising time. The American Cancer Society currently is experiencing an 86% daily shortfall in revenue nationwide, and that's from all events. So the money that is being raised today is critical in making sure that we help continue moving our mission forward to try and find that end to cancer. The American Cancer Society, of course, respects the incredible generosity of all of its donors and wants to spend that money as wisely as possible and making sure the majority of that money goes towards fighting cancer. Of course, we do have some overhead, but to help control the costs, we personally have taken a cut in our staff, and we have reduced our staffing by a third across the nation. So about 33% of our staff throughout the American Cancer Society has been laid off to try and make sure that we are being wise about the money and how we're spending it. So,
and did that change? Is that a COVID related cut?
That is absolutely COVID related. Okay. Yes, because everybody's staying home and being mindful of making sure we're staying healthy and safe. We're not getting out and we're not doing the in-person fundraising that we would normally be doing at this time. And it's really taken a toll on what we're trying to do, and we're trying to stay ahead of it, but we need your help.
Yeah, it's tough for a lot of nonprofits and charitable organizations right now because, I mean, A, this is an economic crisis as well as a health crisis. So people's capacity to donate to things and support things isn't perhaps what it usually is. And then just functionally, people love a fun fundraiser and an event. And it's, you know, that's kind of the hallmark of how you raise money. And so hard to do that these days. So yeah, trying to pivot and find new ways to still carry out your mission when it's your mission is fundraising is a little challenging.
A little challenging. So I wanted to jump back real quickly with the scavenger hunt, and I don't want to keep apologizing for crying. So you guys are just gonna have to bear with me.
We're bearing.
So the other things on the scavenger hunt, there's a selfie with a survivor. Again, that's part of that celebrate. There's a selfie with a caregiver because we know that it's a tough road for survivors and they couldn't do it without their caregivers. And caregivers, I'm going to clarify real quickly what a survivor is. A survivor is anyone from the moment of diagnosis. So a lot of people think that they have to earn their all clear before they're deemed a survivor, and that's not correct. It's from the moment that you're diagnosed, you are considered a survivor. And a caregiver is anyone that has been there to help with meals or rides or, you know, just being there to help with the mental capacity and that kind of stuff. So if you've ever stepped up to help somebody that has had a diagnosis of cancer, you are considered a survivor. There's another stop about taking a selfie with your favorite car, and that is to pay honor to our Road to Recovery program that provides rides to cancer patients for treatment. There's also another stop where you draw your home and take a selfie with it. And it was really funny because when Olivia and I were coming up with these, I'm like, oh, people should take photos in their beds. And she's like, I'm sorry, what? I'm like, okay, that could go bad real fast. It might be a lot of fun, but could go very bad very quickly. So draw a picture of your home and take a selfie with it. And that represents the Hope Lodges. So there's Hope Lodges throughout the lower 48. We even have partners here in the state of Alaska where if people need to go out of town or out of state for treatment, they can stay in a safe environment at no cost to them. So that's an amazing program. Warning, I might cry on this one again. Another stop is take a selfie with luminarias. And I don't know, we should get to a point where we dedicate just some time to a luminaria.
Yes.
And then also stop 8 is your reason why. And I've talked about that before, is when the going gets tough, why are we doing this? 'Cause I like to say it's all rainbows and sunshine, but there are stressful moments when planning a huge community event, especially in the time of a pandemic. And so it's really helpful to ground us as a committee of why we're doing this. And it also helps to ground people that are fundraising when they get frustrated or they're just over it, that we still need to continue and do things because everyone has a why.
Right. Alana, how about you? Do you want to talk about Luminarias?
Sure. So the Luminaria ceremony at Relay, I think, is one of the most powerful pieces. It's usually at the end of our night. And throughout the Relay season, people can purchase the Luminarias. And it is a paper bag. A couple of years we've done purple, which I love the purple, because typically with Luminarias, there's a small candle on the inside. And the outside you decorate to honor a survivor or remember a survivor. And it's a great fundraising tool. We line those Luminaria on the track, and then the names are all read aloud as we walk the track. It's very, very powerful. It's beautiful. Oftentimes, we sell so many Luminaria that we have extras, and we can usually write the word hope in Luminaria up on the bleachers when we were at Skyview or in the middle of the field, wherever we can make it happen. It's an awesome part of the evening. It's my favorite part of Relay. I really enjoy it. But it's a great way to personally honor those that you know that have been affected by cancer and to celebrate them in whatever capacity you feel the need to do that. The reason that we did purple bags, and I love this because it's very personal to us here in Alaska, is that ceremony is usually done late at night at, you know, sometime 11 o'clock. However, here, it doesn't get dark.
This is true.
So you can't really see the candles. So the white bags were pretty, but the candles didn't really have the effect that it does when it does get dark. So we have done purple bags the last couple of years, and that's been pretty special. Purple is the color that we honor for survivors.
Right. And so this year, you're encouraging people to make their own Luminaria at home and take a picture of it?
So we do have the purple bags available. We did get them in the mail last week, 2 weeks ago. You can pick them up at the Kenai Visitor Center. We are back open up to the public 7 days a week. So swing by, you can grab Luminaria bags there. If you're choosing to use it as a component of fundraising, it's 1 for $5, 3 for $10. Sure, sounds good. 1 for $5, 3 for $10 if you're doing it as a component for fundraising. And then what we would like people to do is actually line their driveways with their Luminarias and then take photos and send it to us. And so then during the virtual relay, when we get to that Luminaria component, we'll actually have those photos and be able to honor those people. In years past, we had Meryl Sikorsky and Coach Dan Gensel reading those names. We're still trying to figure out logistically how we can do that. And, you know, if we don't have our typical Luminaria ceremony now, we still have opportunities to do it down the road.
Right. So what's the virtual relay going to look like?
Oh.
Or is that still in flux? You might have to tune in to figure out exactly.
Yeah, we're going to say that. We're going to say tune in on Saturday, June 6th from 3 to 4:30 on the Kenai Peninsula Relay for Life page to figure out what the heck we're doing. We have a basic structure of the key components of Relay. The welcome survivor speaker, which Wendy Dutcher is our survivor this year. She was diagnosed with breast cancer 3.5 years ago. And so she's able to tell her story. And then her husband, Wendell, is going to be giving his caregiver story. Those are pre-taped. And so we'll be airing those at Relay. We're also going to be doing some portion of a Luminaria ceremony. There's going to be some fun stuff happening online. And then we'll draw the winner for our wonderful scavenger hunt, Kenai Peninsula Relay for Life Facebook page.
I will win that one.
The competition is heating up. So speaking of other events, too, we mentioned it briefly, but have not circled back to that yet. So Alana, one of the more creative and fun and I think probably largely participated in events that Relay has done the last 2-3 years, anyway, at least 2 years, the brewery to bathroom 5K, no, 0.5K, that's the whole, yeah.
Don't forget the point. The point's very important.
So are you able to do that this year? Is that going to have to take a pass? What's the plan with that one?
I am hesitantly hopeful, we'll see as things progress. And if not, maybe we can find a creative way to do it from home. We'll see. But the story behind the 0.5K is almost 3 years ago, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. The committee was cleaning up from Relay. We were all just silly and exhausted. And, you know, we hadn't made our goal. We hadn't made our fundraising goal. And we were really, really motivated to do so. And we were coming up with all kinds of crazy ideas because it was 1 a.m. and we had been working for, I don't know, 22 hours straight at that point, probably. And so we were coming up with ideas. We typically had done a 5K race in the past that had done pretty well. And Mike Crawford, who was on the committee, mentioned something about a 0.5K. And I think I was across the field, down under something, yelled out, jumped up and down, me, 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 I got that. That is my kind of race. So it's about just over 300 feet. We did some strategizing to try and figure out where we were going to hold this. Thankfully, Kenai River Brewing Company stepped up and said, we're on board. That sounds great. They have been amazing, and they actually purchase all the t-shirts for the event, and that's a donation that is huge for us. So what it is it's a 0.5K. We start at Kenai River Brewing Company. We go to the bathrooms at Soldotna Creek Park. We turn around and very slowly walk back. It's the race for the rest of us, and there's usually demotivators along the way, donuts. Kenai Watershed Forum puts out a hydration station, and
they take it very seriously.
Very seriously.
They have a timing clock and the whole nine yards.
It's very, very serious. People are usually dousing themselves in water due to the exhaustion.
Well, there's a hill.
There is
so
a hill.
There's a slight incline.
Uh-huh.
If
uphill
you're going,
both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't forget the couch.
There's always a couch that is very usually generously donated by one of our 0.5K participants.
It's usually a couch on its way to the dump, but that's fine.
Exactly on its way to the dump. Last year we had someone doing massages, and you know, it's a fun, great, awesome event, and we raise a lot of money for, you know, we're having fun and we're having a great time, but it's for a very serious cause. So
stay tuned whether or not that one's going to happen this year.
Yep, we'll keep you posted.
Okay. Do you guys have any other, I know it's tough to plan ahead, but anything else in this? Did your fiscal year change, or are you still raising through August to try and meet your goal?
Annette.
I was going to say, I'm going to punt to Annette.
I can answer that one.
Annette, so, all you.
Because the money coming into the American Cancer Society is so diminished this year because of the COVID pandemic, we are giving everyone an opportunity to get healthy, stay isolated if they need to, but we want to understand that there are challenges to raising money this year. And so we are going to extend out the fundraising calendar until at least August 31st. We may push it out even longer just to give people that opportunity, because we don't want people to feel discouraged or disappointed that they weren't able to do as much because they were sitting at home. So we're gonna push the clock out a little bit and let people keep fundraising as long as they want to.
And with kind of a challenge to have actual in-person events, how would someone donate if they want to? Maybe there isn't an event they can physically go to and hand some cash to somebody. So how can they support?
So the easiest way would be to go to our website, which if you just do a Google search, Kenai Peninsula Relay for Life, it'll pop up. It's a horribly long URL, and Annette, I think, might have shortened it, and she can jump in a second. The other thing is, if you want to drop off a check or a cash donation, I know that Alana has met people met people for cash on the side of the road. but we make stuff happen because we know that sometimes it's not very convenient for people to get us a donation, so we make it as convenient as possible. So if you have the ability, jump online. And if not, between myself and one of the committee members, we'll meet you and we'll gladly take your donation and big praise. The intention also is to have another Honoring Hope event because it was a huge success last year. It was nice for people to get gussied up. And
it was one of those Alaska fancy events.
Oh, it was fun. It was great. I was barefoot the entire night in a formal gown. One of the things that I had offered at that event to do was bake pecan pies for anyone that donated over a certain dollar amount. And my life kind of took a weird turn. So I still have a list of 12 people that I have to give pies to. So if you're one of those people, I haven't forgotten about you. I still have your name and phone number, but I'm trying to let my personal life settle down. And then, you know, COVID, I didn't think people wanted me baking and then bringing them stuff. I'm healthy.
but I'm still trying to be mindful of that. So that's one of the things I always throw out there is if people donate a certain dollar amount, then I'll bake them a pecan pie. They're not fancy. They don't have bourbon or chocolate chips in them, but, you know, people buy them. So
straight up pecan pie, you can't go wrong, though.
Oh, there's a lot
I mean,
of
unless I guess you've got a nut allergy, in which case you'd right. go really wrong. Right, but right. You would know that about yourself. Right.
You would think. You would, and hopefully it's not one of my pies that makes you figure that out. So so there's fun, creative ways that we can do donations, you know, gearing up to the end of the fiscal year, too. Or, okay. excuse me, end of the calendar year.
Okay. And Annette, I would assume if, you know, people want to support ACS directly, there's probably a link on the National ACS page if someone wants to donate straight to that.
Absolutely. So, yes, there's relayforlife.org or cancer.org. Either one of those will bring you to a page where you can donate to Relay for Life, where you can donate to the American Cancer Society. I always love personally when people sign up and commit to raising money. It's very easy once you are registered for an American Cancer Society event to then link your fundraising campaign to Facebook. And then that way everybody across the nation that you're friends with on Facebook can know that you're supporting the American Cancer Society and can donate to you right through Facebook. And Facebook has been a great partner with us, and they don't charge us to run our fundraising campaigns through their website. So,
oh, nice. That's always great to be able to keep overhead down when you're doing fundraising, for sure.
Absolutely.
Annette, it's Melanie. I was wondering, are we going forward with Hooked on a Cure in August?
So I don't have a solid answer on that yet. Our plan is to, yes, go forward. But as everybody knows, the pandemic lets us move about very quickly from one direction to another. So we are still working on the plans for that. And we recently lost our staff partner who was managing that event. And so that event is now come into my realm of responsibility. So adding on to the work that I get to do across Alaska, which is very exciting. I love working with the ladies down on the Kenai Peninsula. And I think Kenai is a great community. And I'm always talking about how I'm thinking of moving down there from the Anchorage area. Yay. So we'll see. We'll see. But as far as we know, yes, we're still planning on doing Hooked on a Cure, but that could change any day. So to be determined. It's a fishing derby. We usually give a trophy that is donated by one of the local trophy shops down there for first, second, and third place as well. I think it's a smallest fish as well. Whoever got the smallest and the largest.
Oh, I like those.
Yes. So we typically have a banquet to do the awards at. We are definitely not going to have a banquet this year, but we are still looking at doing the fishing derby and having some fun games dockside there to try and help raise a little bit more money for the American Cancer Society in a fun way.
Wonderful. Okay, so I have not introduced you all in a while. I should do that again for folks who might have tuned in during the hour. So this is, of course, the Kenai Conversation on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. I am Jenny Nyman, and we are talking about Relay for Life this hour and how these very hardworking volunteers are shifting to still make that annual event happen this year. So we've got Jonna Beach, event lead, Melanie Derrett, survivor chair, who also works at Peninsula Radiation Oncology, and Alana Martin, who is the team D, which is a fundraising, kind of in charge of fundraising. And then on the phone, we've got Annette Rolick with the American Cancer Society in Anchorage. So we've been talking about Relay specifically, which raises money for the American Cancer Society, which finds a cure for, of course, hopefully any day now, for cancer. And as we've been talking, the Relay event itself has changed quite a bit over the years. And I think the experience of having cancer in this community has changed quite a bit over the years. So Melanie, I was wanting to talk to you a little bit about, from the hospital realm, what are you guys able to do here locally? I mean, it used to be if you got diagnosed with cancer on the Kenai Peninsula, that meant you were having to go somewhere or drive back and forth to Anchorage. And there's been more and more services and treatments available here locally. So can you speak a little to that?
So Peninsula Radiation Oncology Center provides radiation treatment for all cancer patients. Our doctors are Dr. Jason Parks, and our medical director is Dr. John Halligan. We cover patients from Seward all the way down to Homer. And since they live so far off, from Soldotna, we have a patient house that these patients can stay in, and it's for free during their radiation treatment. So, yes, ongoing radiation treatment, but of course, we have to pay attention to the COVID.
Of course, yes. Yep. But, I mean, and you guys do chemo treatments as well here locally,
that would be,
correct?
That would be upstairs, yep. Which is CPH. Mm-hmm. We're completely different. We're separate from CPH. We do radiation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which, when they built that addition to the hospital, and they gave tours of that, yes. Like the vault where the radiation machine
exactly.
was going to be. It was.
We were actually there before the River Tower.
So
we
watched
the River Tower get built. And one time I came in, they had it all blocked off. And one time I came in and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, am I in Soldotna?
So I have not thrown out the phone number here today, but if anyone does want to give us a call and ask a question of these ladies, the number is 283-8414. I'm sure they would be happy to field any curiosity our listeners might have here today. And right on cue. Hello, caller. Are you there?
I am indeed. Let me just turn down the radio.
No, it's true. You think that that's a trope, but it's actually true. You really do need to turn down the radio when you're calling in. So would this perhaps be Susie Smalley?
Oh, my gosh. It's true. Thank you. I've been just dialing. If I had a dial, my fingers off. They're just shorter. They're not, arthritic. But anyway, I'm so glad to get through. I've learned a lot because I haven't been paying attention. I confess to all that's been going on related to Relay. I'm a survivor, 18 years on October 17th.
Yay!
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure to survive. I am just thrilled that the American Cancer Society has been able to walk with me through being a survivor, for being an advocate, and for being an ally. And in case I forget, I want you to talk about the other arm, the other pocket of money and where that goes and what we've done with it in the state of Alaska.
Okay.
But I profited by research, and one of the first things my doctor said when he diagnosed me was, it's a good time to have cancer. And I thought it was inopportune for me, and maybe he was buying a boat. But what he was saying was, it was a very different time than when my mother had had cancer just 10 years earlier, because of research and because of the money that we provide through research for cancer. I benefited from the Road to Recovery. 7 different weeks when I had to go to Anchorage because Melanie wasn't there for me then. But when I went to Anchorage, there would be a stranger initially who would meet me at the airport on the one day a week when I flew and take me to my treatment and wait for me and take me back. And it was such a gift because one time it was a young man from North Carolina. Someone from the American Cancer Society as a volunteer was taking his mom for her radiation treatments. He was in the military. He couldn't get there, and so he said he would do it on this end for someone else. So that's how real and human the American Cancer Society is, and how many hands that are involved that are volunteers, and of course the staff is wonderful too. And Reach to Recovery, I have been a person on the end, so when someone's diagnosed, they can call, and very often all people want to do is talk to someone who lived. And in the details, you can send them out, all those wonderful resources on the website, and the phone number, 24/7 phone response with good information. So whenever I got information from my doctor afterwards, I would go through and check and see if this kind of matches what is said. And it was a wonderful resource. And the volunteers down here who continue to work for Relay, as Jenny said in the beginning, all the different manifestations of how long, where it is, what we're doing, and now the giant pandemic, which they are showing that it can happen despite anything. So I'm excited to do it in a different way, and just thrilled to be this year a part of it. But I'm not, you know, I'm sort of on the periphery. But I will have a driveway full of luminarias, and I have a circular driveway, so I'll invite people to relay my driveway.
Perfect. All right.
Excellent.
And throw money.
In the bags.
Susie's been such a long-time advocate and so incredibly involved in Relay for Life. She's actually, she and I met at my first relay. We were raffling off a quilt, and I called her up to the stage. This is before I was on the committee. It was just my very first relay. And I was like, hey, you lady, come up here and draw the ticket. And I don't know if she remembers that, but she and I were fast friends, and I'm just so thankful for you.
And you as well, and all of you there, and including Annette, who I don't really have a face for, but you know, I can't see on radio. This is not helping. but somebody, probably Jonna, needs to talk about 501c3 action, because sometimes that gets confused. And we scored big about however many years ago was it. So if you want to do that, and I'll just listen offline.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Susie.
All right. Bye-bye.
Over to you, Jonna.
So what Susie Smalley is referring to is, does anybody have any tissues? I know, right? It's just, you should, thank you.
We don't have too many Barbara Walters moments in here, but we are prepared just in case.
I'm really trying hard not to be a hot mess. Okay, so switching gears, not emotional. Stuff it down. So there is the American Cancer Society 501c3 programs research that we've been talking about with Relay for Life. Then there's the other arm of the American Cancer Society, which is the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, also known as ACS-CAN. And that is the 501c4 arm of the American Cancer Society, and that's the one that does the advocacy. So donor dollars get split to programs and research, and then you can donate separately to the advocacy side of things. What Susie was alluding to is after, on my side of things, it was about a 7-year battle. I don't want to say battle, that sounds very dramatic. 7 years of hard work, very intentional conversations. We, the American Cancer Society, along with the state of Alaska legislature and other partners in this, passed smoke-free workplaces. And that passed, I want to say, in 18, it became a law. And so that was a big, big lift with the American Cancer Society, Cancer Action Network, Senator Machicki, the Lung Association, the Heart Association. So many volunteer hours went into that, and now people can go into businesses and have a job and not have to choose between their health and a paycheck.
Right.
And that was a big thing, because we all know tobacco's bad, right? Smoking's bad. But there was still employers that it was allowed. And so if you're having to put food on the table, you didn't have the option of choosing between a non-smoking job and a smoking job. And so that was very exciting. So I want to say it was October 1st of 18 that went into effect. And we were there when Governor Walker signed it into bill and it was into law. And it was just such a great win. On the national level, we go to D.C. every September and we lobby on the Hill. There's 650 volunteers and we all wear these powder blue shirts. And it's just amazing because we're all there to make cancer a national priority. We're there to make sure that there is funding for programs and research. And we're there to make sure that even the smallest things don't get overlooked. And so the American Cancer Society is an incredible organization, and they do so much for so many. And I don't think people really realize how much they end up doing.
And it's an organization I think a lot of us have heard from, but it's, you know, I think cancer's scary, obviously. And if you have not had to deal with it in your life or in your friends and family's coworkers' lives, it's pretty easy to just kind of shy away from that whole subject, even though there's lots of great ways to be involved as a volunteer and to donate, of course. But I think it's one of those things that nobody wants to think about, and nobody wants to think that they could be touched by that. But it's really interesting organization that they do advocacy and they do so much, you know, larger level support as far as research for a cure. And then as Susie was talking about, individual support for people who are fighting cancer. It really hits all levels of that, which is kind of rare for an organization. But it does that because there's grassroots portions of it and then the national portion of it.
Right, exactly. Another big thing, and I want to try to be mindful of time because I could talk about this all day, is, you know, when they rolled out the repeal and replace a few years ago, the American Cancer Society was very vocal on that because we didn't want people to lose access to care. And I don't know if you guys remember a world when you used to get kicked out of your certain diagnoses on your healthcare because of pre-existing conditions.
Right.
So we were very vocal in regards to that, and those thankfully stayed in place. And so it's little things, again, that a lot of people don't realize that it could affect you. So even though I'm not a cancer patient, I am an asthmatic. And there was a lot of years where even my medical treatments for my asthma weren't covered because it was considered a pre-existing condition. So one of the things that came out with the Affordable Health Care Act was eliminating pre-existing conditions. So in the cancer world, take somebody like Joey Yurkowski, who just graduated high school. He turned 18 in March. He was a cancer survivor. I want to say he was diagnosed when he was 3. And so there were certain lifetime maximums that were in place on insurance policies and diagnoses. And so because of everything he went through when he was a child, potentially he would not be able to be covered with insurance as an adult, because if he hit that lifetime maximum or if that pre-existing condition was part of that whole denial of care.
Right.
So that's another big thing that the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network did, is to make sure that those policies were in place so that people had access to care. Because we know early detection is key, right? So when people are being diagnosed with breast cancer, when it's early stages, they don't end up losing their life. Like Susie talked about, her treatment with breast cancer was way different from her mother's treatment. Joey talks about it. If he would have been diagnosed with his cancer 10 years prior, it would have been a death sentence. So the American Cancer Society, I want to say, is like 103 years old now. And it's really great that we can actually say the word cancer in public. It used to be the C word.
Yep.
Right? So we can openly talk about cancer and people can actually get diagnosed and get treated and get diagnosed earlier. So it's not a death sentence. Sadly, there are still some cancers that are death sentence. The reason I keep crying is I lost my mother in March to stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And I'm so mad that I couldn't do more, being on the end of this, having her be diagnosed and then pass away within 4 months. Was horrible. So even though we've made, I'm trying, guys. Even though we've made so much progress, it's still not enough because I lost my mother. And that's not okay.
Give Jonna a break here for a minute. You are being a trooper getting through this. So, Alana, not to have to put you up to bat after that one, but as Jonna was saying, you know, there is still obviously a huge need, and unfortunately some diagnoses are much more challenging to deal with than others. Survivors who get involved in Relay, what are some of the things that you mentioned, the brunch and the dinner? One of the things that I always really enjoyed in attending Relays is the survivor lap and the caregiver lap. And I don't think we have mentioned that one yet. So I did want to, and I don't know if that's a thing that you guys can do kind of virtually to honor those folks in the virtual Relay coming up this Saturday, but how does that normally work? And then are you able to do that this year?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, that's the survivors are one of the most important parts of Relay. I mean, that is our celebration. And so that's why this is so important. for our the very beginning, we start off with our survivor speaker, our caregiver speaker, opening ceremonies, and then the first lap on the track are all of our survivors. They line up, they have banners, it's a sea of purple. It's wonderful. And we watch them walk the lap, and then that second lap is the caregiver lap. And so all the caregivers join in and do a second lap. We are going to honor with some sort of a survivor lap, some sort of a caregiver lap, and a celebration this year on our Facebook page, Kenai Peninsula Relay for Life, plug, plug. Mm-hmm. This year we're doing hope photos. So if you could submit a photo where you can hold up a piece of paper or a poster that says your name, if you'd like to share your diagnosis and the days, years, months, however long it's been since you've been a survivor, since you've been diagnosed. And we're going to include those in the ceremony. So on the KPEN Relay for Life page, there's access to me and my phone number, and feel free to send me those pictures and we'll get them included in our ceremony on Saturday.
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah, and if you've never attended a relay or been involved in relay, this might actually be the best gateway year. Your actual involvement participation time is going to be pretty minimal compared to, you know, the 12-hour event or the 24-hour event. But it is one of those causes that once you get brought into that and are made aware of it, you're probably not going back to the sidelines.
You're hooked. So you're hooked, pretty much, yeah.
Be aware. Well, we are coming back up on the top of the hour again. We've got time for just a last couple thoughts. If we missed mentioning anything that you guys want to make sure listeners are aware of, or maybe want to share some thoughts about why you are still soldiering through to put on an event in the time of COVID pandemic.
It's so funny because, like, I'm not a big emotional person. So every time I cry, I'm like, I'm so sorry for crying. I don't need to be sorry for crying.
No, yes. You do not.
Use my words. Cancer's not stopping. And we can't stop. We need to live in a world where no one has to hear you have cancer. And I can guarantee, just with the four of you, it's like a schematic map, right? It's me to my mother, me to my Aunt Chris, you know, Melanie in herself. And then, you know, we all, it's just a big spider web when you start figuring out everyone who has had cancer and, you know, somebody knows somebody that has had cancer. And I always think about it in this sense is back in the 80s and 90s, AIDS was horrible. Do you guys remember that? Okay. Mm-hmm. The world came together and found a cure for AIDS. You very rarely hear of people dying of AIDS anymore, AIDS, HIV, right? Why can't we do that with cancer? Why can't we come together for one mission to eradicate cancer? I really don't understand it. And this will be my 12th year with Relay for Life. And I've been involved with ACS CAN for 7 years now. And until I won't stop. I won't stop. It is my personal mission to put the American Cancer Society out of business by finding a cure for cancer. And this year it's a little bit rougher because it did hit close to home. Too close. And I don't want people to have to go what I went through. And, you know, before I used to say I relay for you, right? For you, Jenny, I relay for you, Alana, I relay for Melanie. And now I'm relaying in honor of my mom. You know, and so it's just this feeling, this horrible, awful feeling that I have because I lost my mother to cancer. I don't want anyone to have to deal with that. So if you have an extra $5 or $10, go to Kenai Peninsula Relay for Life, make a donation, give me a call, we'll figure something out. Because it's just enough. It's enough. It's time.
And join our relay family via our Facebook page. You know, be included. Now I think people are really missing everyone and mm-hmm. seeing faces. And, you know, relay is such a reunion for everyone locally year after year. Come and be with us at 3:00 on Saturday. We might all be in our pajamas by our computers, but we'll be together.
Probably not much different than most days for some folks in this universe that we are in these days. All right. Well, we are going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Jonna Beach, Melanie Darrett, Alana Martin, and Annette Rolick with the American Cancer Society. I am Jenny Nyman. This has been the Kenai Conversation on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. Thanks for tuning in.